So the jury goes back to deliberate. It may take 5 minutes or it may take 5 months for them to deliberate and come to a conclusion. But when the conclusion that they're coming to is, was the doctor liable in this case? Did the doctor perform negligently, causing injury, and was there a connection between the two? And if they come out with the positive answer there, they would say, yes, we believe that it is our opinion that the doctor was negligent, causing the injury in this case. If that happens, first of all, let's say if the other happens, if they come out and say, no, there was no negligence, we don't believe the injury was caused by the doctor's negligence, then the case is over. They all go home, everybody goes home. Case is over. On the other hand, if they find that the doctor was negligent, then there's a second phase of jury deliberation that takes place. The judge is going to send the jury back to determine an amount. And first, each lawyer gets to give a little plea to the jury for money. And in this case, the plaintiff's attorney generally gets up with a blackboard and a piece of chalk, and he says, now we're going to ask for an awful lot of money here, and I know that $1 million sounds like a lot, but here's why we need $1 million. And he starts going through the expenses of the patient and the fact that they've been disabled, they can't work anymore, and how much pain and suffering they've been through, and how they've had to hire a housekeeper because they can't clean the house anymore, and how they're depressed and suicidal and want to end their life because they feel useless because they can't work, etc., etc. You know, and they play on the jury's heartstrings, and they do every possible thing they can to get the jury to think that a lot of money needs to change hands. The jury, if they're at all sympathetic toward the doctor in the case, very often they don't want to bankrupt the doctor, they don't want to take all the doctor's assets, but if they had the hint, if they had a little bit of a hint that the doctor was covered by malpractice insurance, they don't mind giving away some of the money of the malpractice insurer. They just don't want to punish the doctor. They may think, well, maybe the doctor did make a mistake, but he's a good person, we don't want to punish him. So they may be hesitant to give any money away. If they had any clue that the doctor is covered by malpractice insurance, they don't mind giving away the insurer's money. For this reason, one of the things that will never be mentioned in this whole trial situation, it will never ever be mentioned in front of the jury that there is malpractice insurance coverage or not. It cannot be mentioned. It is immediate cause for a mistrial if it is mentioned. If anybody says accidentally during the course of action here, that of course of the trial, that there is malpractice insurance, and you know, heck, the doctor's not going to have to pay anyway, it's just going to be his insurance company, then and the jury hears that they're out of there, they throw the jury out, and they may start the trial over. But it is may not be mentioned whether there is insurance in the case. As far as the jury knows, the money is coming out of the pocket of the doctor. And they may assume that the doctor has malpractice insurance, or they may not, but they may not know whether there is malpractice insurance. This works the same way in a car wreck, by the way. You know, if you're in a wreck situation, State Farm may be paying for your lawyer and doing everything else for you, but the jury never knows if you have insurance or not, or what levels of insurance you may have. They're not allowed to know. They may not know, and it's cause for mistrial if they do know. So anyway, back to the situation here. The jury goes back then into the jury room to deliberate a little further about how much money is to be given. And some of the things that they consider and that the lawyer would ask for would be something like past and future medical expenses. We've had to spend so much money on surgery and this and that. Past and future loss of income. We've lost income because we couldn't work. We're not going to be able to work in the future. I'm 45 years old, I normally would work till I'm 65, but I can't work for the next 20 years. I make $50,000 a year. 20 years times $50,000 is $1 million. You see how it goes? And we work out the formula for how much money we need based on past loss of income and future loss of income. If you have to hire a substitute, say you have your own business or you have your own business situation, you have to hire someone to work for you, so that expense is considered. If somebody died in the case, then funeral expenses may be considered. Unusual mental and physical consequences. If you were disabled and have to put in a wheelchair ramp and put in an elevator in your house because you can't walk upstairs anymore. All of this, all of these expenses are considered as expenses that were brought on by the injury, therefore it must be considered when an award is being considered. So those are all damages. Other damages that may be considered would be humiliation caused by disfigurement. So, you know, if you had a lot of scarring or got your ear cut off or your nose cut off or something and you're humiliated by disfigurement, that's worth a dollar amount. Apprehension, you know, people say that following accidents they have all kinds of mental problems. They may, you know, be terrified of certain events, or they just have mental trauma. So awards can be made for all of these things. So when you lump all this together, you know, that's the amount of the award that they're going to ask for. The jury goes back and decides that was a reasonable amount to ask for, we will award it. Or we may say that not only was that a reasonable amount, we think we'll double it, and the jury can award large figures. Or the jury may say, yeah, the doctor was negligent, but we don't feel like punishing him very much. So we're going to say, yeah, he was negligent, but we're going to award $10,000. Not very much money. So they won the battle, lost the war kind of deal. So all of these things are considered. The jury sets the amount. You know, it's well known that juries sometimes in certain kinds of cases really want to punish the client. You know, you've probably heard about the case against General Motors that happened last year in Los Angeles following the explosion of a vehicle and severe burning and disfigurement of some people. The jury awarded $5.4 billion in an accident case. The judge trimmed that down a bit, but $5 billion. So sometimes a jury may give an unreasonable amount of money, and a judge may actually alter it a little bit and change it, and the judge has the authority to do that. So anyway, the damages are done. Here's the bottom line for the chiropractor, if this is a chiropractic malpractice case. If the award given is under the amount that you have insurance for, then your insurance company will take care of the award. For example, if you have a $200,000 insurance policy and the jury comes out and awards $150,000, then your insurance company would cover the entire amount. It's all paid for, nothing out of your pocket. If, on the other hand, you have $200,000 insurance and the jury comes back with a $10 million award, that means your insurance company pays $200,000, you owe $9.8 million. And, you know, they would like a check right now, please. So your malpractice insurer will cover up to the amount of your policy amount. Most common policy amounts these days are $200,000, $500,000, or $1 million. So a $1 million policy means that the first $1 million that has to be paid, it will be paid by your insurance company. If you consider the odds and consider the risks that the average award against a chiropractor, average award against a chiropractor is $56,000. In the United States, oh, this is as of 1999. These things change slowly, but $56,000 is the average award. So even if you had $200,000 worth of insurance, that's certainly going to cover you fine. You would be covered. But there has been now an award against a chiropractor in the state of Connecticut several years ago now, a $10 million award against a chiropractor in a case that involved paralysis following a cervical manipulation. $10 million award. The chiropractor in that particular case only had $200,000 worth of insurance, leaving him owing $9.8 million in the case. So you want to make sure that you're covered adequately to cover any award that may be given. Typically, $1 million covers things pretty well. 99% of all awards against chiropractors are under $1 million. Only that, you know, a couple of rare cases have there been $5 million and $10 million awards. But if you're covered for $1 million, that's going to carry plenty of coverage in most cases that would be adequate and sufficient. So anyway, that's sort of the litigation process that goes on. You go through all those steps. That whole process can take 3 years, 5 years. It can take a long time. So, you know, even though you may be covered by your malpractice insurance, there's still a lot of anguish to go through. It's a lot of wear and tear on your stomach lining going through that process. So you certainly want to avoid it if you possibly can. Do every possible thing you can.